And those are the times where you can go all in, right? Those are the 2 a.m. Zoom calls. That's like what gets portrayed in the media when you see on shows and just a stereotypical startup. But that's real. And when you set up the environment where people can embrace that, where the sense of competition is high, when you know that you may not have the biggest team, you may not have the most money, but you have the most heart and you will work a hell of a lot harder than the rest of the competition. That's how in the past we've been able to surpass even the biggest names, right? It's because we go that extra mile. We went from being a security player to a security leader in a few days span.
This is the ProCo 360 podcast for people who love Colorado and love hearing from Colorado's most inventive and successful entrepreneurs. I'm Dave Tabor, and this episode is with John Nellen, founder and CEO of Total, a company that provides best-in-class modular cybersecurity for small and mid-sized businesses. Total, which is spelled T-O-D-Y-L, has a high potential niche and customer offering such that it's raised $83 million in funding, including the latest B round at $50 million. I want to explore Total's niche to better understand the enormous upside that investors see in what to me seems like this crowded space. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about how Total's culture defines its approach to doing business. And we'll talk all kinds of things. John, glad you're here on ProCo 360.
Thanks for having me, Dave. Excited to be here.
Yeah, now I'm going to start by reading a bit of a press release from March 7th. Listeners, bear with me. I'm going to read for about a minute. But Total, an industry-leading security and networking company, announced today it closed a $50 million Series B investment round led by so-and-so. The Series B funding will support Total's mission of revolutionizing cybersecurity with an all-in-one security platform that empowers IT professionals with the tools, insights, and automation needed to defend against ever-changing threats. So to get us started, and we're going to talk about the $50 million later, but this is what my first question was. Doesn't every cybersecurity company talk about empowering IT professionals with the tools, insights, and automation to defend against ever-changing threats? What's different about Total?
So we focus on 5,000 seats and less, unable to access the talent required to operate these complex solutions. Budgets, putting together all the necessary components, right? What we do is we overcome this by bringing these different pieces together, and we're focused on empowering the IT professionals, right? Closing that gap.
Yeah, but I mean, don't most of these companies with 5,000 seats or less contract out, you know, through these MSPs, the managed service providers? Aren't they contracting all that stuff out anyway?
Some of them do. Usually the line in the sand is around, I would say, 300 to 400 employees. Then you'll have more of like a co-managed setup. Well, you have an internal IT team, right?
Yeah.
Printing, wireless, right? Help desk, even operating email, all of the servers on-premise, things like that. But it'll be co-managed where they will offload some of that to outsourced IT, outsourced security. And those are the people that we work with. Those are the businesses that we work with, right? And what we found is in order to solve this problem for small, medium businesses, right, along with these mid-market businesses, so 5,000 seats and less, it's best to work with the service providers who are already attempting to solve this challenge, who are already working on it.
So aren't the service providers doing that without you, or are you bundled in with the service? I mean, you and I had a conversation prior to this about a company, Colorado company called Pax8, because I had John Street on ProCo 360, and they seem to own that whole idea of multi-selection within an MSP kind of a thing, a contracted IT company then has this platform, right? Are you part of that platform?
We're in their marketplace. Yeah, and they do a tremendous job of being able to offer different solutions to MSPs, right? But I think something to keep in mind is how threats have changed over time, how much the threat landscape has grown, and then what are the solutions available to MSPs? What are the solutions available to small, medium businesses, right? Is they're forced with either these very complex, expensive enterprise solutions or kind of like lightweight solutions designed more for small, medium businesses that may be simple to use, but they can't defend against today's modern threats. That's where we bridge the gap, is we're bringing the capability of those enterprise solutions, we're keeping it simple, and we're delivering it through the MSP channel to small, medium businesses.
So why don't these big players just start selling their stuff to your customers?
Yeah, it's a number of different reasons, right? One is just the sophistication, the complexity of the platforms that they have, right? When you think about what is the need of the enterprise, what is the need of the individuals that are trying to protect the enterprise? Knobs, dials, switches, right? Depth, depth, depth. It's expertise focused on very small areas in order to drive that program. But when you think about what's necessary to support managed service providers, to support the IT teams, right, focus on SMB and mid-market businesses, it needs to work. It needs to be simple. Yeah. It has to deliver easier security outcomes.
So I'm thinking of a metaphor here that may or may not be right. But I'm like, okay, these big guys certainly have, like, who am I thinking of? CloudStrike or others, right? Optiv, Colorado company. Like, these companies are big cybersecurity companies that are delivering very, what I'm picturing as you describe what you do at Total is, yeah, you deliver the same level of perhaps protection, but they get fewer knobs. They get fewer adjustments and complexities. I mean, it's just, am I wrong about that? Otherwise, why don't they just buy the big stuff?
It's integrated is the way to think about it. So we're bringing it together into a simple, easy to use, comprehensive platform. And that's the biggest difference.
Got it. And they can buy that then through their managed service provider, where it become essentially you become a very easy way to deploy really robust security software.
It's a good way to think about it, right? Is that our all-in-one platform, we power those managed service providers.
Yeah, because I mean, for me, I'm not an IT guy. Sure. I'm trying to figure out, like, how does this? So are you the only ones in this place? I mean, you just raised $83 million, just 50. Somebody thinks you guys are special, right? So what is it that they think is special?
It's the comprehensive nature of the platform. It's bringing together the different components, right? Listen, think about the MSP itself, right? So it's a small business, right? Usually we're working with MSPs that are between 1 to 25 employees. They're responsible for IT and security for 50 to 100 different businesses. I always say getting security right for one business is hard enough. Imagine trying to get it right for 50 to 100 small businesses, medium businesses with different compliance requirements, different budget requirements. We help make that possible.
So did you build your own security platforms, or are you integrating a bunch in a seamless way to resell in a super package?
We built it from the ground up, right? There's some components that, you know, we work with different providers for, but most of it's built from the ground up.
So internally, you're fighting the attacks from Eastern Europe, from China. You've got the resources internally to do the same thing that the big guys are doing with their resources?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We have teams of people that have come from three-letter agencies. 3 months ago, they were working for them, right?
Wow.
And the mission that we're on, right, the amount of fulfillment that people can get, I always say in order to have very high levels of engagement, in order to deliver very high levels of fulfillment in the business, you have to be able to see how you're impacting those outcomes. And on a daily basis, the employees of Total are able to see how we're stopping threats that could have taken out businesses. It's very different. You have to remember that a lot of these businesses, if they get hit with a widespread ransomware attack, right, if they get their data exfiltrated and then extorted, that could be the end of them. Right. Whereas a lot of the larger companies have more resiliency.
Okay. So here's I got to push back on this a little bit. And this is what I was really wondering about.
Yeah.
Is like, why would someone trust a new company that says they can solve all these problems when there are companies that have been doing it for 15, 20 years with big names that are household names that we all know and presumably based on their branding and their marketing, we trust?
Yeah. I mean, we have to prove ourselves every day. Right? But we do. And what's beautiful about the MSP channel is that they don't really view each other as competitors a lot. It's more of a community. Mm. And word has spread about what we've built, what we've created, the better security outcomes that we can deliver. And on top of that, we've had opportunities where we go, you know, head to head with a lot of the biggest names in the space. And sometimes we come out ahead.
Wow. Okay. Well, that I had to scratch that itch because I couldn't quite understand. And it sounds like you've built a robust product internally and you're out there marketing and successfully selling it.
I like to think so.
Good. All right. So, and you're staying focused on that market, the small, mid-sized market that you typically can deliver to through MSPs.
McKinsey did a study about a year and a half ago, which was super interesting, right? And they looked at, okay, what is the actual TAM? What's the available opportunity for SMBs, right? Because you look at a market map, you'll see thousands of solutions, thousands of cybersecurity solutions, right? And that's what you were alluding to earlier, right?
Yeah.
It's absolutely flooded. But they focused on how big is the opportunity, right, to fill the gap between what's built for the enterprise and what's needed for the small, medium businesses. There's a 10x opportunity. They estimated $1.5 trillion, right? Very large numbers.
Yeah.
But that's the gap that we're closing. That's the gap that we're filling.
That does a good job in explaining it. I wish I could have gotten you there sooner. But it's, you know, some of these things, when you're not in the space, they're kind of hard to understand. Like,
sure.
Where is this? That's a great example through this study. Now, I do want to talk about this $50 million.
Sure.
You've actually raised 83. So the $50 million, what valuation was that at?
That's not something we can share.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say that. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do, listeners. Because it wasn't published anywhere that I could find
right.
it, I guessed that you were going to say you weren't going to share that. So here's what I'm going to do. Typically, it's 20 in a round Series B, it's about 20%. Equity that someone would give up in a Series B, which would put your valuation, and I'm not asking you to comment on it. I'm just telling listeners it would put the valuation at around $250 million. Now, go with me here. Let's say that a VC, if this were a home run, if Total is a home run, they get a 20x return. If it's a home run, that means somebody thinks your company's going to be worth, in about 7 years, $5 billion. So, I know you're not going to comment on any of those numbers. I don't care. But let's say it's give or take. Like, what did you sell to them? What did you say to them that made them think that was in the realm of possibility?
It's exciting to see not only how the MSP channel is evolving, but the awareness of small and medium businesses, the regulation that's increasing, and the need for more sophisticated, stronger cybersecurity. It's just the reality of it. If you rewind 7 years, 10 years, no one knew what ransomware was. No one was really understanding threats. Now it's a household name, right? Almost any business owner you talk to knows someone that was impacted by it, whether they were ransomed, whether they were extorted, right? Whether they were compromised in some sort of a way. Mm-hmm. And when you think about the impact to these businesses as these threat actors become more sophisticated, right? Downtime.
Yeah.
One of the simple things that we ask is, you know, what's your downtime cost per minute, right? What's the reputation impact if someone were to take all of the customer data and then either, right, try to extort you for it or release it, right?
Yeah.
And when you start thinking about also just the increase in the sophistication and the complexity of the regulation, the compliance, more of it coming downstream, one of the biggest drivers is not does it exist or not, but is it being enforced and are there financial penalties, right? And all of this is beginning to come to a head as it gets more complex.
Well, so you multiply the risk times what? The market size?
I think there's a lot of ways you can cut it. There's a lot of big numbers, right, involved. But, you know, the reality of the situation is that we're only getting started of where we are in the market and the need is tremendous.
What about Total led investors to think you've got a secret sauce that there's not four or five more Totals coming right down the line?
Yeah. I mean, we've been at it for some time, right? I mean, if you look at how is a platform built typically, right? It's, you know, private equity driven. It could be some sort of a roll-up acquisition, right? That's typically how it goes. Building it from the ground up takes time, takes a lot of time. And the outcomes are different, right?
Yeah.
If you think about, okay, well, how many truly successful acquisitions were there that benefited the customers? It was a perfect integration.
Yeah.
The user experience was amazing, right? I don't think I could name one, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the reason why we built it from the ground up, right? Was that it's integrated tighter, it's more fluid, and the outcomes are stronger. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah. How long did that take?
We started, we went full time in 2017 and we went to market in 2020. So we were really,
3 years of R&D
into
getting it to, and now, of course, I'm sure it's matured to be much better, more robust and the whole thing. Yeah. All right. Have a quick break. And then I want to ask you about raising money.
Sure.
Listeners, this is ProCo 360, named Best Colorado Business Podcast the last 3 years. I'm your host, Dave Tabor, and this is the podcast for people who love Colorado and the stories of Colorado businesses and entrepreneurs. My guest today is John Nellen, founder and CEO of Total. Hey, thanks to our sponsors. Kinsley Meetings is ProCo 360's longest running sponsor. They're growing based on a great reputation for planning and conducting meetings with lots of variables all over the world. And let's see. Also, Via Technologies, want to thank them for hosting ProCo 360 and all the great help the team gives me around managing the website, Colorado Biz Magazine. Our partnership is one of building our audiences together. And finally, our newest is Denver Angels. We're partnering with them to feature great Colorado companies. So go to ProCo360.com and check out these partners. Now, I want to ask you, as you were, I mean, you spent 3 years building the platform,
sure.
John. At what point were you raising money, or were you, and what did your job look like when you're trying to build a company, build a platform, and raise money?
It was almost the cycle, right? Of the time that we were, so 2017, there's ebbs and flows in the VC landscape. And that was at a time where like you really needed to have initial revenue, right? Before that you were able to get funding. And that shifts from time to time. That's just the reality of it.
Oh yeah.
Right.
.com stuff. It was just an idea that got funded. Yeah.
So, a lot of hard work focusing on the platform, trying to get those initial customers, right? And finding the MSP channel, updating the platform for MSPs, right? Going back to market and then getting all of that together. But, you know, we started narrow, or we tried to start narrow, and then we just went and widened over time, right?
Yeah.
And then since then, we've just been foot on the gas.
How'd you fund the first 3 years with no revenue?
Yeah, like angels, friends and family, small rounds.
How much was that?
I think our first was about 150K, and that was enough to get started, just two people in a WeWork.
And then by the time, how many people did you have by the time it became, you went live, which was probably really a gradual process?
Four
people. Yeah. How many now?
Now we're hiring about 12 a month.
Wow.
I think, we're around 100.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. That's why you need 50 million, I suppose, to keep hiring. Yeah, so, but back then, like, how much of your time did you spend raising money?
Back then, not that much.
Not much, yeah.
Right? I was always very focused on the product, focused on getting traction, focused on, you know, listening to what needed to be improved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did the money come easily? Or
no.
Did you?
No. It was very, very difficult.
Really?
Yeah, early on, it was very difficult. I think in order to, you know, find the right match with a VC, right, is there has to be contrarian thinking, and the contrarian thinking has to be aligned between the investor and the founder. And that's really where the most opportunity lies.
What do you mean by contrarian thinking?
Well, it has to be opposite to the market. It has to be something different, right? And this is, if you think about like Airbnb, for example, right? I mean, when people first heard about it, they said, that's a crazy idea.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I don't want strangers staying in my house, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, and the contrarian thinking that we had was, you know, small and medium businesses cared about and needed cybersecurity. And that was when we, you know, back in those days. And we had to find, you know, the right group that believed in that.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second, throughout our journey, the second contrarian thinking was, we need to bring everything together and create an all-in-one. And there's a pendulum that swings back and forth in cybersecurity. It goes from best in breed, I need 15, 20 of like the absolute best solutions, put them together, to I need a single platform. And that's usually tied to what's happening in the economic landscape, right, in the macro elements. Mm. The pendulum's starting to swing back, but the thinking of bringing everything together in the all-in-one was from years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just thinking differently and finding the right partners that think differently with you takes time.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about your product itself, and I won't understand it. So although I've talked with a lot of people in cybersecurity, I still don't really understand how it works, and I
sure.
won't now. But it seems really difficult to build the solution that you've described from, you know, internally and such. I mean, is there anything you can say to a layperson that would help us understand sort of how you approach doing that?
Sure. I'll talk on, I guess, the efficacy of the platform, right? How do we try to solve the problem versus the how we built it? But the mindset that we have, you have to be able to see. The more that you could see, right, from like a security aspect, the better of the chance that you have of finding the evil is what we say, right? So you have to be able to see more. You have to be able to see what's happening on devices, what's happening at the network, right? And a lot of these more narrow solutions are the point solutions are focused on one specific thing. And you have to integrate all of them together. By us bringing everything together, right? Focusing on the network, focusing on the endpoint, we've given ourselves the ability to see more, which allows us to do more and then generate better security outcomes.
So you envelop all the evil at once in some way. That's interesting. All right. So let's talk to you about, I mean, your website talks about your values as a company. Some of them are pretty interesting. In fact, the first one really caught my attention because your first value is security first.
Yeah.
And I like that because it basically puts your customer's need above everything else in the company.
Yep.
Is that accurate?
It is, right? I mean, we have a big responsibility to protect our customers. If we were to be compromised, right, especially as a cybersecurity company, I mean, that could be the end of us.
Yeah.
So we put security above convenience, above speed in a lot of cases. And that's very difficult to actually adhere to when you're under pressure in a startup, right, is to make the decision of let's not ship this. Right? We have to make sure that, you know, we have additional eyes on it, right? And just that's the reason why it's at the top, because in many ways that can drive some of the hardest decisions.
You know, here's the hardest decision I can envision.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you balance security against somebody's feelings, a staff person's feelings. Like, let's say somebody is really happy about what they produce. They're really confident about it. They feel really good about it. And yet there could be a flaw.
Hmm.
I mean, don't you face that all the time?
No, I think it's the mindset that you have when you're creating this, right? Of one of our other core values is be the best. And in order to be the best, it means that you have to have lots of different perspectives. There has to be healthy argumentation, right? There has to be a push to understand and define what that looks like. And I think anyone who wants to be great at their craft, right, is open to feedback of how to get better, how to push it further, and then even participating in the debate of why something may be right versus wrong.
That's funny that you bring up be the best, because that's the one I wasn't even going to talk about because it sounded like BS. Because every company
says it's
closest
to my heart, this core value.
You know, as the founder, as the CEO, you can say that.
Mm.
But when you're managing people who have, going back to the feelings piece, like, everybody says we're straight, we're honest with each other, we engage in open debate, we, you know, trust each other this way. But people aren't like that, really. Mostly, they aren't.
Be the best is more of a mindset. That's how I think about it. And it's an interview question I ask almost everyone, right? I'm giving away a little bit here in case people are going to interview a total. But it's, what does it mean to you, be the best? Some people think about it individualistically, right? Of how am I the best? Some people think about it more from a team perspective, right? How do we beat the competition? How do we win? And it's a mix of both of those elements, right? It's a fierce intolerance for what you think is bad in the space. How could we level up, right? Across, completely across the board of everything that we do, from how we interact with customers, support, the trial process, the product itself, how we communicate, our marketing, our sales motion. It's just this constant push to level up and be better and just never be comfortable.
Do you feel that?
I do. It's in our DNA.
Can you manage to that?
We can. And I think the way that we do it, right, is by creating healthy conversation around what are we seeing and what are we dissatisfied with. Hmm. And one of my favorite quotes is by Jerry Rice.
Football player.
He said, today I'll do what others won't, so tomorrow I could do what others can't, right? And that just resonated with me so strongly. Is when you're a startup and you're pushing so hard for so long, there's just certain opportunities at occasion. And those are the times where you can go all in, right? Those are the 2 a.m. Zoom calls. That's like what gets portrayed in the media when you see on shows and just a very stereotypical startup. But that's real.
Yeah.
And when you set up the environment where people can embrace that, where the sense of competition is high, when you know that you may not have the biggest team, you may not have the most money, but you have the most heart and you will work a hell of a lot harder than the rest of the competition, that's how in the past we've been able to surpass even the biggest names, right? Mm-hmm. It's because we go that extra mile. And there's been moments within the company of we went from being a security player to a security leader in a few days span. And it's just creating that mindset, right, within the company itself. When those opportunities do arise, do not hold back. These are your moments. Mm. I always say, what are you going to write in your next chapter, right?
Do you have these conversations frequently?
Yeah, we do. Not at this intimate level, but I mean, when all hands, things like that, right? Different opportunities, when they do occasion, people know, right? Yeah. And when you do talk about it,
that's cool.
You know when the time is there.
That's cool. Hey, listeners, I'm reminding you, this is ProCo 360, Colorado's best business podcast. My guest today is John Nellen, founder and CEO of Total. Go to ProCo360.com to subscribe to the newsletter, read my blog, link to sponsors, and catch the books I'm listening to on Audible. And speaking of books I'm listening to on Audible, what do you do to, I mean, you've gone from a startup founder with two employees to now 100 employees. You're hiring 12 a week. I mean,
a month.
Yeah. Maybe more now that people know how to answer your question. But what do you do to evolve as a leader so that you can still be effective?
I always like I'm harder on myself than I am on anyone else. And one of the elements of the mindset that I keep is that I myself have to be growing faster than the businesses, right? On a professional level, on a personal level. I mean, I'm an engineer that got lost along the way, right? And I have to make sure that I'm leveling up so that I could deliver not only for investors, but deliver for the employees who believe in what we're doing, right? And the sacrifices that they make. That's just the mindset I have. So in every aspect, every element, whether it's technical, whether it's leadership, whether it's, you know, how I'm interacting with the investor, I'm continuously trying
to. So let's talk about leadership. What do you do? I mean, I think leadership is one of the hardest things to actually learn. Technological skills, you can see how to do it. You can practice
sure.
it. Leadership is, how do you learn to be a better leader?
I think there's a lot, there's no shortage of books on it, right? But,
yeah,
but I think
at the
end of the day, it comes down to your behavior, right? And, you know, what you do. I think actions are louder than words. And just, you know, something that I've always embodied is making sure, I think there's, you know, two types of leaders, as I say, there's leaders in the tents and leaders in the trenches, right? And, you know, when's the time right to be that leader, right? Where you're kind of more on the strategic aspect of it, where, you know, kind of like big picture thinking or, I mean, if the team's working hard, if there's something, I'm on the Zoom calls until 2-3 in the morning. I'm with the team to make sure that they know that what they're doing, the sacrifice they're making and the time they're putting in, that's valuable. And I want to be there with them. Can I continue to do that as we scale as we are? I don't know, but I sure as hell hope so.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember years ago when I had a tech company and there's a certain kind of energy that comes in that 95th hour of work that week, that 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, when you have to wake each other up from sleeping on the floor because you got a deadline. You know, there's something almost romantic about that,
but there's
a frenzy, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a heightened sense of fulfillment, right? But one of the things that we're working through now, and I think every startup goes through as they continue to grow, is like the sense of how do you mature the heroics? Right. Mm. I mean, is it really scalable to continue having 3 a.m. Zoom calls, 2 a.m. Zoom calls, right, with, you know, a small group of people? How do you turn that into something repeatable on an international level? And, you know, some people just want the heroics, right?
Yeah.
Some people just yearn and are only successful in a more defined organization.
Sometimes heroics are needed because you've got crappy systems that haven't matured.
Yep.
At some point, you don't
always
want
room for it.
Yeah.
Right?
But I mean, at some point, you don't want to have heroics.
The best business should be boring, right? It should be predictable. You should know what's going on, right?
No one wants to work there, though.
Well, I mean that from the sense of like metrics and output along those lines, right?
Now, that segues into one of your other values, which I did want to talk about, which is empowered ownership, which you say your philosophy is small, self-guided, and metrics-driven teams. Yeah. Talk about that.
Pushing decisions down. That's how you move fast, right? If you think about the opportunity, the jet ski next to the oil tanker, right? How do you do laps around them, right? The startup versus the behemoth company. Mm-hmm. It's about empowering those to make decisions, right? Within a framework that, you know, protects the company at the same time and ensures that they're headed in the right direction.
Yeah. I mean, because you've got a lot of different moving parts. And when you're talking about cybersecurity, you're talking about like all different kinds of things that ultimately have to come together and work together in synchronicity, right? So that's got to be really hard to push decision-making down and then have results in collaboration?
Well, if you have different, we call them controls, right? Different ways that you can kind of measure what's happening versus waiting for an individual or group of individuals to make the decision. It allows the company to move much faster. It gives people more ownership, right? More fulfillment.
Of course.
It gives them,
it
across the board, right? It helps.
Yeah. So what's working smoothly at this point for you? Have you gotten far enough down the journey where things are actually anything smooth?
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, there's a lot that's smooth, right? But at the same time, never being content with what's working is also important to our culture, right? Especially in an area of like cybersecurity that's evolving constantly, right? It's just nonstop. You can't stop.
Yeah, the day you're content is the day that you fail, probably, in your world.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I'm not in that world. But yeah. Now, you're Denver-based, Colorado-based. What's that meaning for you, for Total?
So we looked around. We were based in Manhattan, and then we made the decision to move to Colorado, right? It was right after we raised our first round of capital. I think it was $6.5 million, something along those lines. And we thought to ourselves, you know, where are we going to go that's going to give us the greatest chance to succeed, right? The right mix of talent, right? The ability to grow with the staff that we want, right? Exposure to the market that we need. We landed on Denver for a number of different reasons, right? And, you know, it was a great decision.
Good. And we were talking earlier that you'd like more customers here. So let's get some.
Yeah. So we're building a lot of interesting things, right? Especially for, you know, companies 5,000 seats and less of more efficient, easier to use, more effective cybersecurity. It's just sales@total.com. We'd love to show you what we build. We have our offices right on Wazi Street as well.
Cool. Now, at this point, what's your biggest challenge?
There's a few. I think where I spend most of my time is how I think about, okay, what's the biggest challenge? It's around hiring. Yeah.
Is it because there's not enough talent? That you're careful? I mean, what is the big challenge around hiring now?
Finding the right talent, finding the people that are going to succeed in an organization like ours, finding the right skill sets, because we're a broad company, right? I mean, engineering, products, security, marketing, right? I mean, and everything is growing at the same time. That's where I spend a lot of time.
I mean, it's got to be competitive because there are a lot of scrappy startups in tech. Are you hiring people who already know how to do exactly what you need them to do? Or are you bringing people in based on culture willing to train X percent?
I would say a mix.
Because a lot of companies that are growing fast are tempted to hire people who already know the job, and then it's hard to find people that are the right fit. You're making a face.
I agree. No, I'm thinking. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm thinking because like a lot of companies have different rules that are kind of written in stone. I've worked for them in the past, right? Where it would be, you know, hire for heart, you know, find the right people and figure out where they sit. And I don't think that there's one right way to do it when you're growing as fast as we are. And it's really situationally dependent on the team and the role that you're hiring for. So we try not to make any of these hard and fast rules. And then we treat each one of the positions that we have a conversation around it, right? What are the right personality components? What's the right skill set that we're looking for? And then we have amazing talent internally that does our recruiting that just goes and tries to find the best people for those roles.
Yeah. Yeah. Last question for you. I mean, running a tech company is hard. You told me earlier you've got 21-month-old twins, right?
I do.
So, I mean, how do you balance that?
I think of it less as a balance and more of a mesh is what it comes down to.
Your kids coming to work with you?
On Saturdays, I'll bring them in sometimes, right, if I have to, right?
Yeah,
I mean, why not, right?
Yeah.
You just, you know, you make the most and, yeah.
Yeah. So what is making you, I mean, it is hard to run a tech company. I've done it. I've worked long hours. It's hard.
Sure.
Sometimes it just gets exhausting. What's happiest about it for you?
The impact that we make on our customers.
Which, the MSPs or the end users?
Both.
Yeah?
Both. Because we're empowering MSPs to have better security outcomes, to deliver a better service to their customers. And then we're protecting those end businesses as well. And it's powerful because we could see it.
Do you have like relationships with your customers? Are they friends? Are you hosting them? Do you have any kind of like intimacy around these partnerships?
I'm cell phone to cell phone with some of our biggest partners. We just brought out 20 of our partners to our office in Denver literally last week. Hmm. We went to the Avs game, the final
cool.
one.
Wow,
yeah.
Cool.
It's just great. That's what I love about it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's one thing that a small scrappy company has. I mean, you can kind of lead with your heart with your customers, and they all know you, they love you, and so forth. Can you scale that?
You could scale a great product, and that's what we have,
yeah.
right? I think the culture that we have builds the product that then, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good note to end on. Let's wrap up. I'm Dave Tabor. Today on ProCo 360, you've been listening to my conversation with John Nellen, founder and CEO of Total. It's been a fun conversation. I got to come by and see your offices.
It's been great. Thanks so much for having me, Dave.
Listeners, glad you're here on ProCo 360, where we say live, work, love Colorado, because you and I and my guests can be successful anywhere and choose Colorado. You make the show successful by subscribing to the ProCo 360 podcast. And if you haven't yet, it's a huge help if you submit a review in your app. Thanks again to show sponsors Via Technologies, Kinsley Meetings, Denver Angels, and Colorado Biz Magazine. That's the show. Live, work, love Colorado.